It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The Unrivaled Players Club with Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey, and Utah's Devin Kaufusi.
Alrighty, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled Players Club with Devin Kaufusi, brought to you by UCCU. Love where you bank. NBA basketball has started tonight, and of course the Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets are playing one another. About 3.5 minutes left. 115-101 for the Bucks. World champions. In some other news that kind of happened the other night, and really kind of a shocking. Curious to get your take on this, Devin. Nick Rolovich, the coach at Washington State, was let go, along with a lot of his assistants, whom you know some of them, and for not following the mandate to get vaccinated, and just kind of curious, you know what. One, what's your take on that? How do you feel as a player, like in that situation, a coach being fired for something like that? That's really avoidable.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think, you know, putting myself in their shoes, I couldn't imagine Coach Whip coaching a game and then being told, you know, terminated, being fired. You know, Rolovich, he's a great coach. His assistant, Coach Weber, he coaches my dad at BYU, offensive line coach, and is a good family friend. They're actually one of the first guys that recruited me when I entered the portal. And you know, I just appreciate them a ton. And yeah, it's just a shame. It's a tough thing to do. I don't know what the team is doing right now and stuff, but I also just know that, you know, Rolovich's players on the Washington team right now, Washington State team, they love him. They support him. They want him to stay and be coach, as well as, you know, some of his players that were coached under him at Hawaii that I know, all great things to say about Coach Rolovich.
So when you see something like this, and just from like a preparation standpoint, walk us through being the opposing team, maybe, because we were asking Jaron about it last night, and he was like, yeah, I mean, one of the guys is their co-offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. and you know, their defensive line coach, their offensive line coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's your position, right? Your defensive line coach goes away. The offensive line coach goes away. Co-offensive coordinator, one of the assistant head coaches goes away. And your head coach. So how would you even, like, just imagine those guys walking out of the room right now. How does one prepare for a week like that? How would you even prepare? What would be in place to be able to prepare your team to play?
It would be out of whack, 100%. I can imagine going to practice without Coach Pua there or Coach Harding. It would be completely out of whack. Yeah, that's all I can say. It's even hard to imagine, or even like feeling, or even like going up to practice, going through my daily routine with knowing they're not there. Not just for one day.
So
do you think
the
rest of the days?
Because the other side of it is like, well, you know, we kind of keep it simple, really focus on kind of basic stuff.
Yep.
Do you think in some ways that might help you? Maybe you just kind of go out and play football and kind of forget everything, and who knows, you know, what happens?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we were in this position, you know, with playing USC, and they had their coaching change. You know, I think you said as well, I think you just got to play football. I mean, that's all you can do. You show up, play football, just stick to your guns, really.
It's interesting. Yeah, I mean, everybody's going to be like, well, I know how to come off of a snap. Like, some stuff's just automatic.
Yep.
And you know, I just don't – I wouldn't – it's tough on the kids. I mean, again, we call these football players kids. They're all adults. But, you know, I think I look at it and I go, what a tough spot for these guys to be in, because At the same token, like, you guys have to get ready for this thing. And it, would there be like a sense of betrayal? Like, hey, you guys could have, like, they've asked us to be vaccinated. Mm-hmm. We've all done it. And then as a coaching staff, they don't do it. And then suddenly it affects the team.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't there be like a feeling of, hey, you kind of hosed us a little bit.
Mm-hmm. 100%. We, you know, every team had to go through this year. You know, our team, in a sense, a lot of guys, you know, bit the bullet, got the shot, because it was viewed as a competitive advantage. Guys being vaccinated on the team, more of the staff being vaccinated and stuff, it'll just make things easier to roll through and to compete. So a lot of guys took it as that point, whether, you know, they want it or not, but, you know, we're here to win games. Let's win games.
That's interesting. I never thought about it like that. Hey, well, look, if you get the vaccine, it's a competitive advantage. Because we can stay together as a team. And yeah. That's a competitive advantage.
Yeah.
That the coaches are all together. The coaching staff is whole. Yeah. You know?
What I'm wondering is, why hasn't he come out and just said why he's not doing it?
Right.
You know, because he was trying to get a religious exemption.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't happen. You know, as a player, could you say, you know, what would be a legitimate reason to not do it that you go, okay, I understand. Because clearly the players are behind him.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's hard to speak on someone's, you know, personal health choices and everything. And so it's, I don't think, for me, legitimate of a reason, I don't think there's really one big reason to it. It just comes down to the person. Like you said, I feel like some players might feel, in a sense, betrayed and stuff. But honestly, it, you know, other players, you know, support their coach, support their guy. You know, that's the guy that came to their homes, recruited them, brought them over, has become, you know, their father figure there on the team, and that they're going out and playing for. So,
yeah, I was just wondering if, you know, because clearly he's dying on this principle. I'm like, he's this sword. He's like, and so you got to imagine it's.
Well, Scott, you
always just trying
about-
to figure out what could be so important to a person that they would kind of, you know, that like they would kind of,
or this would be a good moment. This would be a good moment to put that reason out there.
Exactly.
And go, hey,
yeah.
I mean, let's market it.
If you're standing on something,
here's the reason.
Stand
I
up
to do
and
it.
Let people be known and let people know about it.
Well, this was something that, you know, I mean, regardless of the politics on it, we kept looking at it and going, "Hey, man, we wanted to be in the studio at the same time together."
Yep.
Right? That was our that was our motivation. It was like, you know, put those things aside for a minute, because we really like doing what we do, mm-hmm. and we like to do it in this specific fashion of being in the same room at the same time. And that was the.
But we don't get too close.
Yeah.
Physically,
we're still there. Yeah, we don't want to. No, and not a lot of eye contact either, because then it gets weird. But no, I mean, that's the way. Imagine not being able to be around your teammates, or imagine not being able to be around your other coaches and things like that. And, you know, Scott, you always talk about the coaching profession being, you know, so incestuous. Just like all these guys are giving each other's jobs, you know, at this place and then at this other place. And in this case, I feel like, man, these five guys are going to have a hard, really hard time finding a job somewhere else. I mean, I wonder what it'll be like for them. As you guys get ready to go to Corvallis, let's look at places in the Pac-12 that you can visit. And now, again, you're one of those guys that hasn't been on a lot of these trips inside the Pac-12. Is Corvallis one of the places you were looking at and going, I can't wait to check the box on Reser Stadium? You know, Reser makes potato salad, right?
Isn't that what I've had no idea about.
It's a yes. The way Reser makes macaroni and potato salad.
Now I recognize the label. I'm seeing it in my fridge.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, of all the places to go, all the places to visit, Corvallis, is this one of these that you're like, oh, I can't wait to be there? It's just a football game, right?
You know, it's a business trip. We always say we're going to you know, take care of business.
Well, it has to be, because there's nothing else to do.
Nothing, I guess. So I visited Oregon.
Well, they're staying in
on vacation one time.
Oh, they are. How far is the drive from Eugene?
45 minutes.
Oh, that's not bad.
Oh, that's right. I remember. So I'm talking to, you know, some vet guys that I've played there before, and they're saying we got to drive all the way there, and then we got to like walk, you know, across the street to get to the stadium. I guess it's a weird setup for the visiting team.
Well, that is annoying. I mean, but they make it that way on purpose.
Of course they do.
Yeah, we were both outside today hoping to, you know, we get practice in the rain, because we're expecting rain on the weekend.
Oh, so it's going to be – yeah, I was going to say you had the nice cold drizzle today, which is exactly what it's going to be like.
How big of a factor is the weather for you guys? Because you are getting later into the season, so weather will become more of a factor.
You know, heat and cold, you know, of a factor and stuff. I think just when it's wet, I think that's the biggest factor. I'm sure you can attest, you know, playing quarterback and whatnot. Yeah.
Wet's the worst thing.
Yeah, wet is the hardest thing to get over. Especially for me, you know, even my gloves, you know, I'm on my fingertips in a stance. If my fingertips slip, you know, I'm going down and then just trying to grab onto an offensive lineman, my hand slipping off him or up and over him and stuff.
They hurt more, too.
Yeah, it hurts more cold, and everything. Yeah.
Do you have more discussion about, hey, they're going to probably try to run the ball more. It's hard to throw the ball. The ball's slippery. We've got to really focus on trying to get the ball out.
Yep, that's exactly it. We also, you know, on our side, you know, get the ball out. It's slippery. Punch it out. Do all that.
All right. Well, it's our last time to hang out with you before you head off to Corvallis. So we wish you a good week, the rest of workouts this week, and good practices as you head up to Corvallis, take on the Oregon State Beavers. Two teams taking on each other there up in Corvallis. So Devin Cafusi, the Players Club, he'll be back again next week for another edition of the Players Club. Thanks for being with us, Devin.
Pleasure, always.
It's another week in the books. Let's go. News, traffic, and weather here. We'll come back. We've got a full second hour here for you. Stay with us on KSL News Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby?
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.